Also realize I'm dressed like Hipster Mario. good day, good morning, good evening, or whenever you listen to this damn thing. I'm Yasin Bonds.
I'm Shadley Desai.
Oh, that's me. I'm Saeed.
I'm Brad.
We changed the order. I can't remember.
This is the podcast. But before we get into the actual episode, happy birthday, Saeed.
Happy birthday. His birthday is tomorrow. It's not today.
1 year closer to not being a youth anymore.
Can't wait.
So what have you guys been doing this week?
So quiet on the movie front. I don't watch horror movies anymore now that Natalie's back from overseas.
Nice.
So I don't need that extra ghost in the corner watching me.
He's got company now.
Yeah. So the game, I've been playing one game this week.
One game.
It's Astrobot. And damn, I'm loving it. Firstly, like, big shout out to Gamefinity for providing us with a code for us
shut
to review
up.
It.
Thank you.
Really, really cool. The game's amazing. It really is. I'm not going to go too much into it in this episode because we're going to put out like
a proper review
on our socials. But it's amazing. I wouldn't go so far as to call it a game. Well, it's a game of the year contender. I probably wouldn't call it game of the year.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. It really, really is a lot of fun. You've seen the screenshots I've been sending you.
Yeah, it looks so lekker.
The 1 minute review and go.
Okay, so basically it is a throwback to platformers of old. It feels like a Crash Bandicoot game in the modern world with a new protagonist. It's fun. It's challenging, but not so challenging like Crash Bandicoot where you get frustrated. It's rewarding when you get the collectibles. The collectibles are amazing. All the little robots you have to find throughout the world are, well, maybe like a third of them are based on PlayStation characters. So there's Nathan Drake, nice. There's Deacon St. John, there's Ratchet, Clank, Crash Bandicoot, Spyro.
Okami.
Lara Croft is in there also.
I haven't found Lara Croft yet. I was actually thinking about that.
Spoiler alert.
So basically, at the end of the day, I think it is the best modern platformer that has been on PS4 and 5 and those generations. 9 out of 10 for me.
You.
That's amazing. And 5, 4, 3, 2.
Buy it.
1. Done.
Sold.
That was a great review.
That was today's episode. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
The camera.
But yeah, look out for the full review on our socials coming soon. I'm blown away. I want to go play it like right now when you guys leave. I've been playing every little opportunity I can get. I'll go play a level because the levels are quick, man. They're little sandbox levels that you can just jump into, play around with. It's not this massive like open world thing that a lot of platformers have been doing recently.
It's like daunting to like go through the whole motion.
And every level. I've only played probably about 23 levels so far. Every level has a unique theme. It's totally different. Every level you play in.
So I played the
Astro's Playroom.
Was fun.
So fun.
Oh, like, it was so
felt
good.
Like a whole game of its own. Mm. Teaching you the controller. You like it advertised the potential of the console as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I go, if this is this and this is the demo, I'm excited for it.
So
that's what the game I was like, I hope
they do you know what, like I'm so blown away. So a lot of people, the complaint is like Astro's Playroom feels like a tech demo and not the full game. And it's like it is a tech demo. But it's so much better than a tech demo.
Exactly.
Like, and everybody asked for a full game of Astro's Playroom.
Yeah. And we got
now we got it. And it's everything we asked for.
It's great. Just dope that it is for PlayStation by PlayStation.
Yeah.
For the fans of PlayStation.
Exactly.
So now it's all those aspects of all those games that we love in one space or so.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much fun finding that one character. Like I sent you the screenshot of, I sent Shadley the screenshot of God of War, like Kratos and Atreus.
Oh, so you guys talk on your own besides?
We have to skinner about you.
If I send you guys a thing of God of War, you're not going to give a shit.
But we will. Thumbs up.
Okay, fair enough.
Saeed, what have you been doing this week?
I didn't play any games this week, but I watched some stuff. I want to just say, so since the last time I missed the last recording.
We were grateful for that.
I missed it. And then I watched, before that one, I wanted to talk about, I watched After Sun. I finally watched that.
After Sun? What's that?
With Paul Mescal. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Yo, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who might want to watch it, but I would say definitely watch it. It's sad though. I cried, I'm not going to lie. So
all the best movies are sad.
Yeah. If you are in the mood for a sad movie, watch that. It's really great. And then I watched Beetlejuice for the first time this last week. First time ever.
First time, yo. You are a child.
You know why? I thought it was scary, man.
But
it's like, now watch it and it's like, it's not scary at all. Yeah. It's just fun.
It's creepy though.
Not even like, I enjoyed everything that was supposed to like be creepy.
Yes, I'm sitting kakia, sorry.
And I just.
The poster's behind you.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I'm spread eagling, but that's fine. Sorry.
Yeah, like everything about it, I really enjoyed it. Like it was the first time in a long time that I watched a movie that made me feel like, you know, when you were a child and you watched movies and everything was just fun and you didn't like nitpick anything when you watch it. You just like, this is fun. It's like, I want to watch it again. And now I want to watch the second one soon, like when I get a chance.
Yeah. The first one is peak Tim Burton. It's so good.
It's really good. Like I like all of the the style choices and everything. And then I was thinking like, maybe I should watch more of his stuff because I haven't really watched that much of like the things that he's done.
Yeah,
I feel like you so hate Tim Burton because all the emo kids were into Tim Burton at one point. And I know there's nothing more Saeed hates is that when people like hype.
Like, do you know what
Saeed is the ultimate hipster.
I don't like claymation stuff. So in my mind, he's just outside of like Big Fish, which is like one of my favorite movies ever, like in my mind, he's just like the claymation, but even though he made other stuff.
Yeah.
But like, so for me, it's just like, I don't think I'm gonna like have a connection to like the stuff he makes. Mm-hmm. But then I watched Beetlejuice and I was like, okay, maybe he has some heat. Maybe I must go back and see what else.
Tim Burton, because he did Batman also, right?
Yeah.
It's like Taika doing Thor.
Mm, yeah.
Where they used someone that's outside of the field to do the thing. And I actually enjoy that.
True.
Yeah.
A different take on
Batman and Batman Returns. Oh, great Batman films.
They're so dark.
They're pretty dark.
Yeah. 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 I mean, games?
Games. But I watched The Upside because I wanted to watch a movie that I didn't have to pay attention to. That Kevin Hart movie with Bryan Cranston.
Okay, that's every Kevin Hart movie.
It was like the most mid movie. Like
the perfect 5 out of 10.
Not even like 4.5. Like it's like the most mid movie ever. But you can also see why some people, people would like it. But like, it's like I feel like there's nothing going on. Like it's just mud like the whole way through. There's no peaks.
It's like they shot the movie and they were like, yeah, that's the scene. Okay, that next.
Yeah. And I'm going to say 5. I watched Ocean's 11 yesterday. It's still a banger.
Still peak.
Can watch that movie anytime.
I haven't watched that in like years.
Yo, it's still a banger.
Let's watch it again.
Watched many movies this week. Can't remember any. But you did watch Madea and The Funeral. Because I saw it on the thing. Then I was like, I know it's going to be bad. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can be entertained by the bad.
Fair enough.
And I was. I genuinely shouted the whole time going, it's so bad. This also, they're dealing with a funeral and then a comedic character would just come out and say the wildest shit.
Okay.
It's also very offside, the comedy. But in a funny way where you go, this shouldn't be this funny because to see someone, also the makeup is bad, the hair is bad, and that's not Madea, that's the actual actors in there. The acting is bad, the sound is bad, the set is bad, everything, but on an if you like entertainment,
okay,
try it.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch that because you were recently in an award-winning funeral movie?
Hey. That actually goes on to what I was going to say, what I did this past 2 weeks.
It was a great movie though, so which I cried for all the time. Not the Madea, but the actual movie that I was in.
So I watched a movie called Hirna, and it's about the janaza.
It's a funeral for the Muslims. Catch up.
And such a good movie, eh? Like, it captures the essence of what the janaza is. But I'm going to have to rate this movie a 2 out of 10 because there's this bra that comes on screen called Yasin Barnes, no? And it just ruins the whole movie. I was just look at this bra. Look at him.
He also is on screen as Yasin Barnes. In the subtitles, it says Yasin Barnes. And it's spelled like Yasin Barnes.
Wow,
also,
finally.
Which is, someone spelled my fucking name right. Sorry.
That was actually the only thing in his contract. He didn't get paid. He just wanted his name to be spelled right.
Properly.
That's all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a liquor form. Like, it's
I'm very
it's such a well.
I'm very biased about the movie because I go, it I'm saying it because not because I am in the movie, but I genuinely enjoyed the movie also.
I think for me, it's like you can see it's written from like a personal space and yeah. there's like a lot of care put into the movie. Like it has its faults, but for the most part, like it like hits when it needs to hit. And yeah, it's so just.
It's very sincere. Like I felt like it doesn't try to be like this grand, like amazing, yes. like huge thing. It's just like, this is how it is. Mm. And that's like and really that's cool. Cause also that's how it is, but that's like our world. So it's like, it's even better because it's like, that's actually like how it is. Like it's like a slice of life thing that you can actually relate to because I'm pretty sure we've all been at a janaza at least once. You know
but,
what I mean?
But also,
I haven't.
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh,
fuck.
Is that the thing?
Yeah.
No, but also it's a thing of, and funerals, I think in general, while it is sad, it's also, there's a lot of funny spaces.
Celebration, yeah.
And also celebration of like life and family because the moment you see your family, but you also just, sometimes you see something and you go, it's not wrong if I laugh at this thing.
No, exactly.
You go, this is actually just people being people and it's fine to laugh and then you cry in the next moment and then you laugh in the next and you cry in the next.
Yeah.
It's very relatable.
And then...
right down to seeing Yasin Barnes in the movie, I was like, yo, this is too much realism.
Also, we watched a movie at the screening in Camps Bay for the Paddle Festival. And it's a full screen cinema. And there's one scene, Magafrit is the whole screen, the whole thing, and I go, my mouth is 2 meters big. Such a big pick. But anyway,
just quickly, where can people watch the movie though?
So it's not out yet.
Okay,
it's still gonna go through the process of film festivals.
Oh, and that's cool.
I think it ends up on Showmax in a few months' time.
Nice.
But when it does come out, we will tell everybody.
You will invite you to go watch it. Watch it now.
And then on another note. I deleted all the games off my phone. Like I had a lot of games. GTA, Last War, The Solitaire, Need for Speed, all the games. I was like, let me just clear this. I need to get work done because I have a lot of work to do. And I was using the games as a distraction. And then I was like, no. I even like all my social media, I was like, I'm going to hide it. And then like, it must be a mission for me to get to.
Yeah.
I had to like trick myself.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't really work. But I must give the break. The game is a break. Even the Switch and the Xbox. The Wii and the Xbox are both packed up.
Yeah.
I was like, I must get away from this now. It's work.
I wish I had that willpower.
I actually gave into buying a game.
Squirtle with a gun.
No, I bought Space Marine 2.
Yo,
like it launched. So it launched yesterday, and this game is like Gears of War. It's just. Everything on an epic scale.
It looks amazing.
Like
it looks really cool.
So I played like the first two missions, the tutorial mission and like the first mission. In the end of the tutorial mission, there's like thousands of things just descending on you and they just like survive. They don't give you a time limit to anything. And that's like kind of the epic scale of like what you're doing. You're just like the super soldier there to kill. And it's like, oh, survive. It's like, yeah, sure, I'll kill all these things. Like
that's cool.
And that's first mission.
That's the tutorial mission. That's not even the proper first mission. It's everything feels big and like epic. It feels like this war epic. And it's super jazz so far. Like I'm enjoying it.
Give him
it's
1 minute.
Fun.
Hmm? 1 minute to review.
I can't review it. I only played like 2 missions.
Okay.
So it's pointless. I'll do a review next week. I'll do a full review.
They were saying that like this game lit a fire under the people in charge of Helldivers also. Because like when the game came out, Helldivers got like so many like updates and stuff. Like they buffed like almost everything in the game to try to get people to come back. And they were like, oh, we announced here's 7 new guns coming and here's...
So there's some like cool features that I've seen. Like you can play the missions like co-op. With like Brasser, you can get them to like join your team, which is super jazz. Also, the haptics on PS5 are insane. Like when you're firing a rifle, it feels like you're pulling a trigger every time. So it's...
Does each gun feel different
you can feel like the weighting on each gun feels different. So like a pistol will feel like lighter than like a heavy pistol.
Yeah.
And like an auto rifle will... fire, like you can feel it's pushing back like as it's firing, but it's easy to like keep the trigger down. So
do you think that's the thing they could do for previous future controllers is to make it heavier?
I don't know actually how the haptics work,
but heavier and lighter depending on what you're carrying. Like make the controller have a little...
I think that is taking it too far.
I don't know if that's possible from like a physics perspective. I don't know.
But also, no, like don't let Bethesda find out because they will literally not allow you to carry your controller when you pick up too much stuff. Like, no.
They'll find a way to charge you for like...
Yeah, make it lighter.
You want your controller to be lighter or you must just like start lifting.
But yeah, I'm really excited to play more of it. It
looks amazing.
It feels like it's a very full game. Like there's a full campaign. There's multiplayer. It doesn't feel like, oh, here's a multiplayer game and you must wait for content to come out. It's like it's a full single player campaign which you can play co-op. There's multiplayer you can play. There's just all the content is there on launch. So it doesn't feel like you spent money and you're being shortchanged.
For sure.
Feels like you spent money and you're getting a full game.
It's a Warhammer game, right?
Yeah.
So did you like have to are you learning? Do they teach you the lore there also or what?
You kind of get thrown into it, but from what I gather, you need a PhD level study just to get into the intro of Warhammer. Like it's 40 years worth of lore.
And it's like, there's like how many books, like isn't it like over 100 books or something? That's like actual books.
It's easy enough to go like, okay, this is this thing, this is this thing. They're fighting. Okay. The gist is everybody are Nayas in this world. Like the best scenario is that they kill each other. Like that's the best scenario.
So then you just kill everything.
That's pretty much you. Your whole purpose is to fight. You're born to fight. That's it. You play as like this 3 meter tall walking battle tank.
I'll get more into that.
I must actually check
if it's... And did you watch anything this week?
I didn't really watch much. Well, I watched Hirna. And but nothing else of interest.
No, that was the week before.
2 weeks.
Yeah, but we didn't record last week.
Didn't we?
No. Oh. You guys did shorts. I was...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I was out.
Voted.
But, okay, question from the week is, what is your most epic gaming moment? It can be like a cutscene. It can be like just something you did, anything. Like, what is your most epic gaming moment?
Mm. I've got one. That, once again, first thing that comes to mind is always my answer. And it is...
Wait. Let's do a poll quickly.
Okay.
God of War, something to do with God of War.
I think it could be a Resident Evil moment. What do you go for?
I was also going to go God of War.
Yeah. All right, let's go.
Two of you are correct.
Fuck me.
I feel like you and I have the same moment.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
It's Ragnarok in God of War Ragnarok.
Okay, it's not.
Okay, so God of War Ragnarok is building up to this massive battle between good and evil. And just...
Everybody's fighting.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. And it was... It's a buildup of two games culminating in this massive battle at the end, and it's just amazing. I was literally like, come on, like shouting at the screen while playing as well. It's just super epic building up to that climax. And then it goes from, look, the game's old enough now that I can drop a spoiler. Just like goes from when Kratos blows the horn to like signal that Ragnarok is starting, all the way until the end of the game, goosebumps throughout. Most epic game moment.
Yeah, it's probably like one of the best final thirds of a game ever.
So good.
And you?
Go for the other.
So I actually got it from God of War 2018.
Okay.
And that is, spoiler alert, when Kratos retrieves the Blades of Chaos. So those are the weapons used in the original games. And this one is like, he has to go to hell to go and save his son. But his axe doesn't work, so he goes back to get the Blades of Chaos.
Why does his axe not work?
Because it's a frost axe and hell is frozen in Norse mythology.
Okay.
It's filled with ice.
Yeah.
And basically, like, for a returning fan, like, the hype around getting his old weapons back is just... It's unbelievable. They were actually
It feels as epic as Captain America... catching
Mjolnir. Exactly. Exactly.
I would say it's even better than that.
Yeah, like, because the game leading up to it, it's always showing you like his scars from the chains that were on his wrists and stuff like that. And he's always trying to like bandage it up and hide it from his son. Yeah. And then at that point in the game, he just has to accept who he was in the past, take those weapons, get them molded back onto him and go fucking save his son. It's so good.
Yeah, it's like he knows, he kind of goes like, yeah, I know I'm a monster. And it's like, it's time.
Yeah.
It's such a quietly epic moment.
I was just
moment.
About to say, it's so quiet.
Like, it's so like, it's muted in terms of like, there's not like a lot happening around you, but it's like, for a returning fan, that moment is so just like, I lost my mind. And they nearly didn't put it in the game.
Yo.
Imagine. They put it in at the last moment. So I'm very, very grateful that they did.
Last minute cleanups, and you say?
My one is from The Last of Us 2. The
two.
Like my favorite, like I don't know if it counts as like a set piece in the game island? Is the island.
Oh,
when everything is on fire and you're like just trying to like make your way through to get.
That's cinematic.
Exactly. Like, and that's why like that's the first thing I thought of, because it's just like. Like, that was, like, a thing when while I was playing it, I was like, yo, I want to play this spot again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to play this exact, like, as, like before I was finished with it, I was like, yo, can't I just, like, restart this thing and just play it again? Like, it was just so quiet because, like, you start and it's you know when you get there, like, something's going to go down, but you didn't expect.
It's that scale. Everything, like, just ramps
and
up.
And everybody around you is, like, dying and it's, like, it's wild. And, like, you can fight if you want to, or you can just run and you can just do what you need to. And it's like, yo.
So what did you do? Run or fight?
I think I try to fight like as much
he was
as
like, I'm not good at fighting.
There's like a lot of, like in the beginning you're there and it's like normal and it's like you can, you know, make your way around. And then as things get going, it's just like everything is on fire and it's crazy.
I actually don't have an epic moment. Like I was running through and I was like, there's too many moments, but there's nothing that really like stood out as like hardcore epic.
What about
I have one other moment that I could bring up, and that is the intro from Ghost of Tsushima, where you have the Mongols are invading Japan on Tsushima Island, and like the samurai go to meet them and they just disrespect them and like just kill the first guy, and there's this massive battle charge. Like, so they're throwing like the catapults, throwing like firing boulders, and you're just like riding into this battle. It is stunning.
I think
it sets the tone.
On a basic level, it's just getting the long one on Tetris.
You
don't understand. Once you're already popping and you're like got 3-4 blocks in, and you just manage to switch it just enough so that you can go down. Hey, epic moments in gaming. Yeah.
I think can't beat that.
Yeah.
Also, honorable mention is just like the Rat King. Because firstly, it was epic because you guys made me so nervous about that. Because before I even played the game, you guys were like, oh, you guys were talking about
that Rat King. That was very stressful.
And I was like, okay, I know what a Rat King is in real life. So I'm guessing, I could guess.
I was about to say no.
So I was guessing what it could be in the game. And it was basically that. And that stage is just like it's set up perfectly because you know, and I knew especially what it was gonna be because you guys mentioned the Rat King, so I was like, I know it's gonna be this thing, but I don't know when it's gonna jump out or where in the game. So I had that, I was on edge the whole game because I was like, at any moment, and then there were so many times when I'm like, okay, it's here, and it wasn't, there's something else.
You know why? Like, at contrast, in the first game, you had the bloater.
Yeah.
And then in this game, they're just like, yes, the floater, not the floater.
There we go.
And in this game, they're like, yeah, let's make it like 1,000 times worse.
Yeah. And it's just like the way you have to run from it and you have to fight it. It's like, it's so little. Because you have to run and you have to fight it and you have to run and then you have to fight it and you have to run. It's like, it makes you feel like you are up there because you're like so stressed out.
I'm doing another playthrough of Last of Us 2. I started it again when I got the PS5, because then obviously the PS5 upgrade came out. And then I still felt it was too fresh in my mind. I actually want to play Last of Us Part 1 again on PS5, which I haven't done yet, the remake on PS5, then go into Part 2.
That's a good idea, just to like get cleanse yourself. You need a palate cleanser.
Even when you were talking about the island now, I was thinking like, when's that? It's good that some of the memories of the game are fading in a way. Obviously, the Rat King will stay with me forever.
Yeah.
Isn't that bad?
It's scary. It's a scary boss fight.
Because I was playing that game like at launch. So like no one had pre-warned me. So I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
When does season 2 come out?
I think next year.
Although I'm like curious to see if they're going to split the second game into 2 seasons.
I hope they do.
They are.
Because there's just too much to cover in like one season.
They're stretching it out, I think, like over like, I think they're going to go to like season 4 or something, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
I hope they film everything now already. So it always still looks the same.
Well, that's the cool thing, because everyone actually is supposed to have aged by like
age.
5 years or something like that.
Yeah. So they're actually in line with the actual ages. Okay, so let's get into our topic for the day, and that is a game ahead of its time.
This is actually a difficult
one. It's a tricky one because, like, there are games that did things first.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it well enough. And then you have games that are just like way ahead of the time. Like,
and then also the games who did a thing that was unique, but just never got copied again also.
Like I go like, if I look at the game like Shenmue, Shenmue was like the first true open world game that with was, like a day-night cycle, all of that. Mm. But it wasn't successful at launch. No.
It's almost gained like cult status now.
Yeah, and it's like, in a way, you go... It kind of influenced the whole open world genre. Yeah. Like
you can see it was a blueprint for like GTA 3. Like really, in a way.
Yeah.
So then, because ahead of its time, then the first GTA also would be super also ahead of its time. Because it also was a map. Firstly, a style that didn't really exist. And also having a proper open world. And you cannot do the missions.
Yeah.
You could just go.
I think that sandbox style was like unique to to that GTA.
True. And then GTA 2 came around, and then basically it's weird because they added 3D in a game that was 2D.
Yeah.
And the 3D was just getting bigger. And
They were like, we will go this way.
Exactly.
And then I think with GTA 3, the other games, like you say, almost like padded their way into it.
Yeah.
While it was ahead of time, there were others that did it before that at the same time.
Exactly.
But I think like GTA, like if you look at open world, GTA was the one that was truly like ahead of its time. It was doing things that no one was even expecting.
Mm-mm.
What's your ahead of its time?
Can I go first just because my battery's going to die and I'll put my notes on you. So I've got a bit of a cheat because like we've been saying now, it's difficult to think of a game that was ahead of its time, especially because you've got to now go back to the archives of old school games to think about what made them ahead of their time. So my little bit of a cheat is that it's not a game that was ahead of its time. It's a console that inspired games that were ahead of their time. So I'm going to say a handful of games on the SNES were ahead of their time. So the SNES, I think SNES was ahead of its time. I really think so. Okay, I'm going to read you a little bit. But I mean, so I never had any hands-on time with the SNES, except for emulation later on in life on my PC. So like by then, gaming had moved forward. So like you weren't really taking in like how
ahead of its time, exactly. Yeah.
But then you watch videos, you read articles, you check stuff on YouTube, like top lists of certain things. And then you realize, shit, the developers, that they really pushed that console to its maximum. And that's what made it ahead of its time. So like, I can't believe, like whenever I see some of the games, a big chunk of the games, I can't believe they were on a console that came out in 1990, which is insane. It's a year younger than me. It's
4 years before the PlayStation came out.
And so some games that have always stood out to me, even if I never played them that much, and I put these two together, Star Fox and Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
Because they both made 3D games on the SNES. They were 3D. They looked like they could be on the PS1. And like you said, 4 years before the PS1 even came out.
I have Mario Kart.
Mario Kart's on my list as well. It's like, so Star Fox and Donkey Kong Country, they fully pushed the console to the limits, utilizing unique, like at the time, 3D styles to make it look more advanced than it actually was, right? Which I think is amazing. And no, like I said, it could have easily been on the PS1, like early PS1 games. It really could have. Guys, add to these games because I never played much of them or if any of them. But like, then the other one, like you said, Super Mario Kart, which revolutionized like the racing or kart genre. It really did on such a small, like not really powerful console. It's crazy.
Again, they made it feel 3D with 2D tricks.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
they cheated the 3D out basically. Yeah.
And then you get two games, two JRPGs, Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy III, which actually was Final Fantasy VI, but it's some weird naming thing. So Final Fantasy III is actually Final Fantasy VI,
I know it's like, I know there's some like weird thing that happened when it went across to the West.
Fast and Furious, man.
Exactly. So even though like I'm not a fan of the JRPG genre, there's no denying that both of those two games, how they got all of that content and all of those mechanics into the SNES. It's made in one cartridge. It's crazy, actually. And I mean, obviously, like these days, games, like when developers are making JRPGs these days, they're making it look like Chrono Trigger used to look. You know what I mean? Like that art style. So that's like was such a game ahead of its time, I think. Likewise with Final Fantasy, and we know how Final Fantasy is going these days. But like, yeah, it's insane how a game from, I think it was like 1994, is still exists, and people still go back to play it and still love it. Still have so much fun playing it when they're emulated or whatever. And then the last one from the SNES is A Legend of Zelda, The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past.
Yeah, that game was like wildly ahead of its time.
Mad.
Like that game.
How does that one look, show me?
It looks like Pokemon, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It is like an open world Zelda game
on
a SNES.
And you could save the game to the cartridge. Yeah. They obviously didn't have like a memory card or anything, but they had the battery. They had the battery in where you could save the game, which is wild that they considered that you can't finish this game in one sitting. Yeah. Like, you had to play it like over several days.
They basically had to make the technology so that you could play the game properly also.
So the very definition of ahead of its time, it like revolutionized like the save system in a way. And I mean, I don't know much about the game aside from like what I've read. I've never played it, but like apparently there's like some kind of a not a day-night cycle, but you can switch between dark and light modes or something like that, which...
I don't know about the original. I play the newer one.
Okay. But apparently, like you can, there's a button you can press and it makes the world change immediately. And then it almost like opens up like new doors and new ways to access parts of the game. And like, once again, that is crazy. Absolutely crazy. So I wish I had more to say about these, but like whenever I watch, like I said, whenever I watch like top tens or whatever,
those are the ones.
Whenever I see that, I'm like, that can't have been on the SNES. It's insane. Mm-hmm. Even though you can see it was from that era, but like how they got a Final Fantasy game onto a cartridge back then.
For me, I go, it's the people, the thought process, and then basically putting it into action.
Exactly.
Because again, anyone can imagine it, but it's who goes, okay, I'm actually going to put
this. Like, how do I make this thing work and make it like part of the game and not just like a thing that I'm putting in?
Exactly.
What did you say?
So I had that Shenmue as well because like, I think, if you look at that game, like there's so many people that are still trying to recreate that game today.
Yeah.
But again, like I think that's also an interesting one because it was like underappreciated and then didn't have like as much funding as it needed to. And then it went the complete opposite way. They had too much funding and it flopped.
The
latest one like
failed.
It's just like it's that the franchise is dead. I don't think it'll ever come back.
They actually said like the problem was like they didn't change enough. Like they tried to stick to how it always was and they didn't make it like a new game. They didn't update it in any way, man. So it feels like an old game.
But the one that I actually want to, well, also honorable mention to like Half-Life or the physics and stuff like that, because I think that also just blew everybody's mind when it came out. And I think like people, there's still games now that are coming out today that aren't as good when it comes to that. So I think that's a good one. But then the one that my main one is Shadow of the Colossus. Good choice. The main reason why I like that one is because I think like if that game came out today, I think it would be getting like insane reviews. And like if it came out now for the first time, it would be getting rave reviews just because like the way that they...
People would be hating on it simply because it's getting good reviews.
And like the scale of the thing, like when you fight those... if you fight any of the Colossus, you feel
small.
You're climbing on the thing's back and you have to like try to find a weak spot. And it's like, I don't even know I don't know where I am at this point on this thing's back.
Like the camera will pan out. Like you're just like a small thing.
Like it's such a, you actually get so like, there's so much immersion in that game when you play it. Because like, I still remember I got, that same one that Brad has there, like on the back of that thing, like the one
both the games.
The two games. So I got that and then I played it. And then my auntie was randomly there and she just saw like I was playing the one stage and the music is like amazing as well. And then she just ended up sitting there on the couch and she was just watching me play. Like, and she was asking me questions about the game. She's like, oh, so like, what's this game name? And I showed her the box and like, this is what I'm supposed to do and whatever. And it's just, I think like the way that it just because I played the remaster, that's like the PS3 version. So like I don't even, I for me, it's like I couldn't see like how they would have thought to make something of that scale, like on like the PS2 or something. You know what I mean? Because it's like, how do you push that, like the limits of what you can do?
Yeah.
On like with a small disc like that, but also just with what the limited computing power that you had. Mm. It's just like really amazing. Like, and I think like it's a game that you can play older versions of it, and I don't think you lose much because it's got such a like a great style that even though the graphics is not going to be that great, like relatively to what you can see now, you don't lose anything when you play it because they actually like made like great mechanics and the game feels good to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mad. Like I find when a game gets like scale correctly,
we could have easily
put Shadow of the Colossus up on like the most epic gaming moments either. Yeah. Because like I wonder which was first, God of War or Shadow of the Colossus. Because the PS2 God of War games got the scale right as well. Like it made you feel like this little guy.
I'm just trying to
I think Shadow of the Colossus came out like maybe like a year before the first God of War.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking as well. Because like then it was absolutely ahead of its time. Maybe they were developing them at the same time.
2005.
Yeah. And God of War wasn't it?
I think God of War might have been around the same time.
God of War also came out 2005. So that means they were both in production around the same time. Yeah.
But I think almost like Shadow of the Colossus, that is the base of the game, riding up to this Colossus and climbing up it and eventually taking it down. But like, that's only a small part of the God of War games.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Shadow of the Colossus gets it so much better because it's like, yeah. And it's, how many Colossi are there in the game? There's so many.
Like eight.
Yeah. I think it's eight. Yeah. And like,
yes. I thought I was going to say eight.
They all have like this, like a very different feel. Yeah. And like the way you need to approach them. And it's like, that's really cool because... Mm.
They could have gone for like a stock standard, just reskin them a little bit differently, but they didn't. They all feel different.
Yeah. Mm. And like, I think like it would be really cool if I don't know if you guys have any games that come to mind that nail scale like that well, like that came out recently, for example, because
I think God of War is the only one that comes to mind currently.
Well, I would say Astrobot actually gets it right. Yeah, there's some parts of Astrobot where like you have to climb on this giant robot, for example, and it just feels like you, this little thing on this massive robot. Yeah. They get it right there, definitely. But that's with PS5 hardware.
Yeah. So does Astrobot just like go find the highlights of all the games and make it fun?
That's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it.
I think it's just like incorporating like what Sony has.
Like epic moments of all the stories and the...
It's essentially what Little Big Planet did was they also used to have like the skins and that where you could dress up Sackboy as like different characters from like within the PlayStation library. So it's like that next natural evolution.
I had a few games. So one was Mario Kart because I was trying to think of like, it's such a fun basic game.
Yeah.
Then I realized they were also the first to do it. Then I go, there's been many variations of Mario Kart that's come after that. Then I saw Doom also had in there because Doom was also the first that...
It was like one of the first like multiplayer shooters that had like it incorporated music.
It also was like a story and you felt you were a part of it and not just, I'm here to do this. You had to like, you fully existed in the game as a character. Then the other one I had was... Worms.
Okay.
Because I was like in a time when everyone was chasing graphics and was chasing like a style and all these things, they went back to basics and they were like, they were outselling games that they put millions and millions in the 90s to create. And they were like, yo, let's just turn base, one controller, everybody gets the time to do the thing. And I was like, that's actually, I feel like that, while it was ahead of its time, it also was a moment in time. Yeah. With that said, we can also play it.
That began toxicity amongst people.
But I'm just saying it's still playable. Like that's how great they made the game and iconic that all the four of us here could pick it up now and play a great game and still have the same fun. There's like maybe like three or four buttons you use on a controller, still able to play it.
Mm.
They never made things too hectic, but like ahead of its time in terms of it was a classic and that stood the test of time. Then ahead of its time that I also, while you guys were talking, I was spaced out for a moment because I went to go fix the game. Battlezone. I don't know if you guys remember Battlezone. Mm. Please go search it. It was a tank game
that was just green lines on a black screen.
Yo.
I don't know if you remember, and it was
I know what one you're talking about. Like, it was,
it's a first person tank game that was made in 1980.
Whoa.
Yes, I have seen this game and I've played it.
Iconic. They made in 1980, they made a first person 3D shooter. That also,
like, these are all as moon, yeah. That's wild. But also, it's so simple.
The shape of the tank as it turned. Yeah. This is again 1980.
Crazy.
Then you go, it is the basis of basically all first person that we understand. And yeah. I think it's before Doom also.
Yeah. Definitely, way before. Doom was 14 years before Doom, yeah. I think. Something like that.
I think Doom I played it on a 94. On an Atari. Yeah, 93. Either way. That for me was like a hit. I can remember playing it and going, this is weird. It feels different
than
any other game. Because at the same time, I was playing Asteroid. I don't know if you know Asteroid. So yes, so we had Asteroid and that game. I don't know what. It was either on a computer that we had or on the Atari
console. It is an Atari game. So yeah. Maybe it was that.
And then, and Asteroid was cool because if you leave the side, you come back on the other side.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
But there were so many versions of Asteroid though. Like, I feel like, yeah. Like you'd always just come across like a version of, yeah, of a game
one
called Asteroid.
Green lines, one and white lines.
They were, none of them were the same.
And then there was also one where the planets were different. I don't know if you saw that. Where there was somewhere like a cheese planet, and there was a cow planet, and then.
Anyway, asteroids.
Yeah, on
wow,
asteroids.
No,
anyway, not
Battle
ways.
Zone is could be the for me, yeah, the most ahead of its time game.
I mean, for a game in 1980, like how you're describing it, I've never played it, but I see now there's a version on PlayStation VR that you can go play.
Oh, imagine that must be that. Wild.
Still the same graphics. Yeah, well, like a little bit updated, but like the green lines and stuff.
Ah,
like
yes. So the green is green.
Yeah. But that's very cool. I've never heard about that game before, actually.
Yeah, just go see the videos. It's, again, 1980.
Yeah.
We're in time where, like, color TV was barely being for the world. These people are making 3D things.
What were the sounds like when you shoot? It's like, pick.
Yeah, probably.
If there was sound.
Yeah, true.
Sound only was only invented in 1982.
Before that, we were just using Morse code to communicate.
All sound in the world. And then, did you go through yours?
No, I haven't done mine yet. Okay, so mine, I kind of have two that I want to touch on, but the one that I really want to speak about is Legacy of Kain: Soul Reaver.
Mm.
And there's like one specific mechanic that I want to talk about because I feel like not enough games utilize this sort of thing. So in the game, story-wise, you can go between the physical realm and the spectral realm.
Yeah.
And they differ. Like in the physical realm, you can pick up objects. The enemies there that you can fight. You lose health in the sun because you're a vampire.
Okay.
And like there's water and all of that. In the spectral realm, there's no water. Water has no weight or anything. So you fall through it. The whole dimensions of the room will change. So like your puzzling will change. You also get abilities to phase through certain objects.
Nice.
So in the game, you're constantly trying to figure out how to traverse the world, but you need to think about where, like, should you go back into the spectral realm?
Can you switch between?
Yes.
At any point?
Any point.
You can switch back into the spectral realm at any point, but you can't go into the physical realm at any point. So you need to constantly think about, is this the right spot to do that? And you have to look for those clues to kind of guide you forward, but.
Okay.
And what I think, like, it's interesting because you'll hit like a dead end. Like, there'll be like an area where there's, I know there's like the, you're in a cathedral and there's these pipes that are leading from a massive, like, organ, basically. And. And the cool thing is, like, it's just this empty gap.
Okay.
Because all the pipes are here, but now you shift into the spectral realm and they like twist to form like a platform.
Oh, that's cool.
Across.
That's my shit. I love it when games do that.
What?
When you have to almost like figure out how to shift between two different planes or two different worlds. Yeah.
It doesn't give you a clue, but it's like the clue inherently is like that there's nothing else you can do here.
There's another game that came out recently, that's like very similar things like that. So was that inspired by that? I can't remember what it is now.
Are you thinking of Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden?
That's the first time I heard those words. Net order, but I've never heard those words net order before. I don't know anybody.
The way you're describing it feels like the bridge in Thor.
The bridge in Thor? Like,
you know, the Bifrost.
Yeah.
Not quite, because you stay in the same, basically they overlap, they just look different. Yeah. And the cool thing is, like, you get water. Water damages vampires in this world. So if you fall in water, you die. So you can actually, like, use that to be like, okay, I need to go here. There's water here. I just go to the spectral realm. There's water, but it doesn't do anything.
That's cool.
And also, like, if you die in the physical realm, you go to the spectral realm. And then once you die in the spectral realm,
you die.
So it's this constant, like, shifting back and forth. And I was thinking about it because the game always felt...
What year was it?
This is 1999 it came out.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it because this game feels like a very sandbox, open world sort of game. It feels very similar to, like, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild in terms of... They put you in the world and it's like, there you go.
Go.
Just go do your thing.
Figure it out.
You figured it out. And I feel like the map is actually smaller than it is, but because of the shifting mechanic, it feels so much bigger.
Yeah, but you're doubling up on this.
Yes, you're doubling up on the space and it makes it more interesting to, like, to traverse and to like explore and that. Cool. And it also makes you like...
Why didn't they make sequels? Like, why? What
they did. They did. They made.
How many?
After Legacy of Kain, after Soul Reaver, there's Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver 2. Then there's Blood Omen 2. And then there's Defiance. So there's like four sequels. And they all play differently because Blood Omen, you play as Kain. And in Soul Reaver, you play as Raziel. And they're at odds with each other. And then in Defiance, you actually play as both of them. In the final one, which is cool. And it's like...
Is there no PS5?
No.
People have been calling for it, eh?
The last time this was out was on PS3. Like, the last time you could get it.
So people are due.
Yeah, but there's been no official remake. Like, you can't get it anywhere. So people are yearning for a remake of some sort for this game because...
Yeah. Why isn't there one?
It's probably, I don't know, actually.
It's been so long since the last game came out that maybe, is it Sega that published it?
It's Crystal Dynamics. Do you know who wrote it?
I think I know the answer to this, but I don't.
And it was one of the designers. It's Amy Hennig, who did she was responsible for Uncharted, for all those big PlayStation titles.
Insane. It's her. Yeah. And I just think because it's been so long since the last game came out that Crystal Dynamics aren't like, maybe there is public wanting for it, but maybe they're going, okay, does it make business sense if we're only going to ship?
The thing is, like, the last game, Defiance has like a very like not a closed ending, but an ending that's an ending. It's like, it's finished. The saga's finished. So you're either going to have to add on something new or you're going to have to redo it. Now they were going to do like a whole multiplayer thing called, Legacy of Kain. It was called Nosgoth Black Sun. So Nosgoth is the world that they're in. But then that fell through. And then they've never really returned to this. I guess it's also rebuilding a game like this, which is not optimized. You have to strip it down and then rebuild it.
I'm just thinking of do you write story first and then tell developers, come make a thing like, I want the world to be able to do this.
I don't know.
Or does someone go, yo, I think we can do, I can do this in a stage. How can we fit this in?
Okay, so this is the public, the PSA to Noclip to do a documentary, go interview the developers, please.
On how they did that.
Yeah, I'll donate $10 to the Patreon for you to go.
Thank you. You can fly down.
Big baller. Big baller.
In this economy, with this exchange rate.
Big baller.
But the other game I want to mention, briefly, because it hasn't had enough time to have a legacy, is Death Stranding. I just think it's doing a lot of things that are new and different. So Death Stranding is Hideo Kojima.
Also, Shadley has 17 tabs open at the moment.
I have to.
You can't even see, you can just see the logos of the website. You can't even see the words.
Yo, that's when you know.
this laptop is going through the most at the moment.
Death Stranding is the Postman simulator, the Courier simulator. What I do think is very cool about it is how it's a single player game, but utilizes like online servers because everything somebody builds in the world to improve it helps everyone, which is...
Can you play it without being connected to
the internet? You can play it without being connected.
Are those two famous people?
Yes.
Yeah, it's
like all of
actors.
His all his brasa, like he just puts his brasa in this, everything. I love it so much.
Brasa with all the cool people there, and he just plucks them in all his projects.
I love
and
it so
amazing.
Much. Bro.
If you want to know why I don't make movies, these are my friends.
I love the fact that you will like you will tweet about the movie. So like, oh, I like this person's performance in it.
And
two weeks later,
he's laughing with
2 weeks later, he posts a selfie of him with that person. Yeah. And then he's like, yeah, I scanned him and put him in for my future game or whatever.
That's cool. So I think like in terms of what it's doing, like even like by building up the world for yourself, you're helping everybody else. It's a kind of like, if you don't do it, if you want to spite everybody else, you're only making the game worse for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's such like a just unique mechanic of
also,
using like online.
You must read the real world, guys.
it's wild. This man is talking about like real
just
social
make it
issues.
For everybody else, you know?
Yeah, it's just the really cool mechanics that can be used going forward. Like I say, the game is like 5 years old, so it's difficult to say if it's ahead of its time yet. So we'll have to see. But
I must still play it. Like I played the first maybe hour when it came out on PC Game Pass, which is always so weird how a PlayStation exclusive came out on PC Game Pass. Not on Xbox Game Pass. Not on Xbox, but PC Game Pass. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, so I played it there, but my computer is just not strong enough to experience the game.
Yeah.
In full. But now I've got the director's cut on my PS5. I still just
you want to check it out. It's a very slow burn game, mate. So it's like
and visually
beautiful.
It's stunning
as the pictures do.
It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it holds up.
Yeah.
Like that first, even on my PC, which obviously wasn't running on high graphics or anything, that first part where you're just walking to your destination, I'm like, whoa, like I wanted to like walk through the world. Very slow, so I didn't explore too much, but like because there's also like the buttons to like balance. You have to like do the
balance,
left and right.
Yeah,
you have
to like
balance yourself
like
while you're walking.
The stuff you're carrying and that.
It's Hideo Kojima. Like,
is it like...
no, you really are a postman. That's like your job.
So is it like Lord of the Rings? Because that's also just a postman.
Yeah, it's
but
also...
But the thing of... Is you know that is that running game where you have four buttons?
Quap is... No, it's not that hard. Quap is like the worst.
Quap.
That's the worst name. But it's so good as well at the same time.
Did you manage to figure that game out?
I never played it once. I know I would just hate it.
Okay, let's be playing for next week's episode. Cool. We're all gonna have a round to
we're
see.
We're gonna play Quap.
Because essentially it's a rhythm game.
Yeah.
And it's a rhythm I just couldn't catch. I also feel like there's many games that can be on phones now.
Yeah.
But they just don't. Like, I feel like Worms should be...
I think there is one for
is
Android.
A turn-based
one?
Yeah, there should
be. You
can
play across multiple phones.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But also, would you... I think the only thing of that is it must be like a game that you have a Discord with.
Yeah.
Because I must be able to speak to all of you.
Exactly.
While I'm busy playing.
It's on Android, but you have to pay for it. It's like $70.
That's not bad.
That's fine.
I think the cool thing that you could do is you could cast it to your TV and then you guys can all just play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can download it on the PlayStation store because they're all there. Worms Armageddon, Worms World Party.
I didn't like Armageddon, hey? What's the more recent one? It came out on PS Plus as like a free game when I had my PS4.
I don't know. Was it the 3D one?
Four? Yeah.
No, that's like Worms 4. That is
Worms
not.
Worms 4, I think.
So I didn't like it, eh?
So that's the other thing I forgot to add is that Hogs of War was a better 3D version than the actual Worms 3D.
Yeah,
I liked Worms 3D. Was the actually is the only one I've properly played because that was the first.
Now you must play World Party and Armageddon.
Got a
those
demo.
Are the best.
Great, I got a demo from like PC format or something of Worms 3D, and like I looked at photos of it earlier, and I remember that game looking a lot better. But like it was so, I just remember that game being so funny because like they have the holy hand grenade in there also. And it was such a liquor thing when you like you finally like your brother's like on the edge of something and you're just like
do you know what's the best part that is like you can also just fuck it up for yourself.
Yeah, that's throw that grenade and you just see it bouncing back at you and you're like, oh.
But also the other thing is those are one of those games or the first games that I saw players almost like how can I say, they got clever with the weapons and like the damage you dealt and stuff like that. So even like with the punches, there was ways you could punch, because you could punch at an angle to punch someone up and down. But there was also just, what was it? Like there was the guy that basically kills himself. He puts on the band.
Kamikaze.
The kamikaze
one. Yeah.
But there was a way you could survive the kamikaze also. If you do it properly. And I used to watch videos of people doing fixing bombs.
I just used to love though when like somebody comes out to like kill you specifically there, and they fuck it up and then you just like tack it.
They mission to get to you. And by the time they get to you,
they're out of time. What's the best? And you're like, yeah, now it's on.
Yeah.
And then also you're making deals with people to go, look here, you and me are going to be in a side Shadley. And then at some point they screw you over and now we're
back. Like, yeah, liquor. And then the next thing, you know, they're like, I'm sorry, but you're in the way.
Also ahead of its time, because it probably inspired Red Faction with the way you can destroy the world.
Yeah.
And like create shortcuts to get to your guys to like, if you put a rocket into the mountain or whatever. But that's also,
Worms is on the Ambenik as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that really working yet?
No.
I wanted the battery to die fully
and then
so that I can charge it up and then, yeah. So I think it has died by now, definitely.
I must go fetch my Switch also. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you must get Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy.
We got some questions from WhatsApp. I don't know, this brother, like, he WhatsApped us now, but like,
no
his
name
is in like, a Japanese like lettering, so it's like I don't know.
Don't make
international fans.
Yay.
No, it's like a local bruh from he actually got three questions, but then he asked the fourth one also. So
sure.
if you guys can each create your dream game, yeah, what kind of
read it in his accent.
No, what kind of, I don't know his accent. I don't know his accent. He probably sounds like me. If you guys can create your dream game, what kind of game would it be? Think graphic style, game engine, story, gameplay, etc.
Yo.
That's interesting. I feel like we should do this as like an episode.
That's a full episode, I think.
Yeah, I think we're going to do that.
Do that as an episode.
We'll do that as an episode.
Okay.
Then, name your top three favorite films of all time and list why they're your fave. Okay. Doesn't have to be like too long. Okay. Top three is so hard because it rotates for me.
So, when I had to apply for film school, I had to answer this exact question in like an essay form.
Really?
I almost feel like there's
like,
definitely
like
been
an essay.
Essay.
Hey, essay. Hey, cabrón.
We're getting close to relax.
But my top three probably has changed, but I'll give you the answers of those because those are like cemented in my mind. The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Clerks, the very first Clerks.
Oh, nice.
Because that's like a film student's dream, man. What he did in that movie is a film student's dream.
I need to watch that again.
And it's so funny.
Yeah.
I've got the 10th anniversary DVD somewhere. It's got so many documentaries on
Wait,
it.
Wait, which one?
The three-disc one. I got that for like 10
rand. Oh, yes, I remember you. Yeah.
What happens? What's that one?
It's the black and white one where...
Oh, no. I know what one, but I just think...
Have you watched the latest one?
I haven't watched the latest one. I'm putting it off, to be honest
with you. Apparently, it's not it's not worth. And the second one?
Second one I loved. Yeah. And so it's Dark Knight, Clerks, and American History X.
Whoa.
We're getting very close.
It's not my favorite because of what happens in the movie.
I love
and
that.
The subject matter.
Thank you.
But just how it's made and the impact it has is insane. Mm. It really, really is. I love it. I really do. It's even though the director actually doesn't like it. Because he said it feels unfinished to him because Edward Norton and Edward Furlong, the two leads, they were like rewriting the movie as they were going. And Edward Norton's very known for that, doing that.
That's why he wants to do like his own
thing. That's why he didn't carry on as the Hulk.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, it really
because they were like, no. And he's like,
Hulk. And so, I just think it's an amazing movie. Like I watched it randomly one day. My uncle actually watched it and he's like, I watched this movie. And I'm like,
were you old enough to watch it at that point?
No. I slept over at my cousin's house. My uncle put it on. He's like, come watch, guys. And we were all like, whoa.
That's not a family movie at all.
Especially that.
Didn't it scar you?
Yeah, that stomping scene is insane.
Yeah, that's a scene in all.
Resident Evil makes so much sense now. As a favorite genre.
It's an outlet.
No, guys, I watched my first ever horror movie when I was like 6 years old and it was It.
So
So movies like that don't affect me that much.
So for the problem I have with scary movies is that I saw pieces of it when my sisters were watching it.
Yeah.
And then I never watched the end.
Ah.
So then these things haunted me longer. That's why I can't watch scary movies.
Did you guys ever watch that scary movie where the electricity tries to kill the guy in his house?
Jamie Foxx.
It's called Pulse or something. It's like 1988 or something. I went to my cousin's after mosque one Friday, no? And they were playing it on ETV at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So like I just come from a mosque and I'm like, I'm eating and my cousin's like, they're watching this thing. And it's the thing is, I was like maybe like 10. So it was scary, man. But like looking back now, it's goofy and it's funny. Yeah. Because like the electricity is possessed and it's trying. So it goes like into the appliances in this bra's house.
That's how it works. No,
and it tries to like, and the appliances then try to kill him, man. So like there's like the one thing where like this, the drills, the drills like, is like trying to like go. But so like, yo.
Okay, we need to have a movie we must find to watch. So maybe we must add Pulse to this.
It's a spoiler, no? But it's not really a spoiler. Can I spoil it? It's not really a spoiler. So like, the movie ends, no? He's like, the only way he can get rid of this is he goes outside and he like chops the electricity pole outside his house. He chops it down. No?
Speaking of a whole movie.
And then there's no electricity in his house. No? And then he's like, yeah, okay, he's finally free. And then you know those clocks with like the cats, the Cheshire cats. And then at the end of the movie, it just ends with that like there's supposed to be no electricity. But I don't know why the clock would have electricity.
Why is it like
because it's got batteries. I just realized that now as I'm saying this. But then that cat like starts to like tick again. Oh, and so then the movie ends.
Yo.
And I was so scared. But I was like, yo.
Did you go put the mains off there at home?
But I got home now. And like to this day, I think that's why I unplug everything when I go sleep. Like, I was scared. But it's such a junk movie. But you should watch it. It's so
funny.
Okay, everyone else's top threes.
Okay.
I'm just gonna read my letterbox top four. So the first one is Drive. I hate that it became a meme because of like Ryan Gosling Drive, like this internet meme thing about it.
It's a brilliant film.
I love it so much. That movie is the reason why I wanted to study film. Like I just watched it. Before I watched that movie, I didn't really care so much like about like shot composition and like just like the cinematography of things. I used to just watch movies to watch movies. And I watched that and then I was like, yo. And the same time when I watched that movie, I like downloaded like Vegas Pro like that same night.
Oh, cool.
And then I just wanted to do something creative. And then like I cut like clips of the movie and I made it a trailer for the movie, but like as if the movie was like a rom-com. So I just cut out like bits from the trailer that made it look like a romantic. You know what I mean? And like I remember like I sat for like 8 hours like because I had to learn how to do everything in Vegas just to do that. So that's like my number one. My second, it's gonna sound also like a very film school pick, but Itu Mama Tambien.
Oh, yo, that's a wild like yo. That's such a film school
pick. The Leicester one.
Yeah, that's the one with the black face where the person slides down by...
I feel like...
Mama Jack.
That's such a wild movie that they made. They let him do that, no?
They made him like sequels.
Sliding down the cable car thing.
But I can't believe they let him do that.
Every film school, the student, like in the class, there's at least like 3 students that have that.
100%.
On their list.
It's amazing though. Like I think it's really justified. Like... He's my favorite director, like I told you guys like before. And I think that all of his best qualities are like you can see it in there. Because that also he was younger when he did that. And like simple stuff, like I like the fact that he always like his friend is always his cinematographer and all this stuff.
Yeah, that's
cool. Like I just like stuff like that. Like he keep like he's saying bra is like and his bra isn't like junk. Like he's not just taking his bra with him.
He's back and for
like the two of them are like a perfect combo.
Like they work well
and
together.
They work well together. And I love that movie. It's like it's got so many. Like I could talk about it for long and I don't want to talk about it too long, but like it's got so many good, like it's about a lot of stuff. It's about like people learning about themselves. It's about like class. It's about all these things. And there's the stories in the background of Mexico and it's a road trip movie. So it's, you get to see things that you probably never, like you see places that I'm never going to be able to go to those places. You know what I mean? And it's quiet and you get to see it. And then like the third choice is Big Fish. I love that movie so much. It's like, that movie just feels like magic when you watch that movie. Like, I don't know if like when last you guys have watched it.
Do you know I've never seen it?
You should watch. Oh, you should watch it.
That's really like, good.
It's you so Greg, good. Eh? Yeah, yeah. It's so good. Like
me and him.
What? Yeah, you and him.
It just feels like magic. But like when you like everything about it, like it's perfect for him.
Yeah.
And then like fourth honorable mention, I'm stuck between like Mighty Ducks 2, because I love that movie so much, and Grind.
Okay.
Grind is. I watched it for the first time when I just started playing Tony Hawk, bro.
It's a like, winning culture.
That's like
it is.
And it had all the songs that I liked.
That movie introduced me to the used.
All the brands that we liked because we saw it in Tony Hawk.
Exactly, bro. And Bam was there.
And Jackass,
It was like, yo, perfect.
Because we watched it recently.
It's so bad.
It's like Michael Jordan's mom. Have you seen that one?
That's
Yo, that is gunfighting.
But
actually, I get that though.
Yeah. That is a movie that I'm down to watch that movie any time. Like if I have the time and somebody's like, come and watch Grind, or if it's on anyway, I will watch it. And perfect. Because like, you know, like, I feel like when you like, when you're young and you find that one movie that you just find at that perfect at that perfect time in your life, you love that movie for as long as you love. And that Grind is that Grind and Mighty Ducks 2 is like
I'm getting a proper warm fuzzy feeling to hear Grind.
Grind is so good.
On the note of finding the movie at the right point, I think The Matrix is in my top 10 in no specific order. The Matrix is there because, again, it's one of those things where, firstly, I was an art lady, so you go, is not how movies are made.
Yeah.
It changed the thing.
Then, it changed cinema. It did.
Then Fight Club was also something that had like dope cinematography, dope music, a twist that I genuinely didn't see coming.
Yeah.
That I also appreciated the mess. And then also your teenage years where you're finding rebellion in that.
Yeah.
And then also Airplane.
Classic.
Every moment they could find a joke, they gave a joke, whether it was in the background, whether it was in a voiceover, whether it was just written on a thing, there was jokes happening. And then with April, I'll actually add all of Leslie Nielsen's Naked Gun series.
Oh, so good.
Because none of them got worse. They were all funny and they went with different tones maybe, but all of them had like stuffed with gags.
Yeah.
I actually would love to see how much they cut
out
of that movie because I feel like they did so many ridiculous things.
Stacks.
And it's so much funnier that O.J. Simpson is in that movie. Like it just gets funnier as time goes on.
And the way he dies in that movie, or gets hurt or something, right?
Also every time he does something like wild and you go, about to get wilder. It's crazy. But again, also because he was a sports star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was acting in a movie and wasn't that bad either in the movie.
Did you watch The Police?
I've seen scenes about it.
It's so good. And it's like also like that jokes per minute ratio is crazy. I watched like an episode of Columbo and Leslie Nielsen is in there, but he's serious, man. And the whole time I'm waiting for
a joke
because like I'm waiting for something to be funny because like I only know him as the funny bruh. But like the reason why you were so good at being the funny bruh was because he's a serious actor.
Yes.
It's so weird like watching him trying to like be like to plead his innocence and I'm like, well, I'm waiting for the joke. There's no joke.
Even him in like the scary movies, the ones that he was in, he played the president. So funny.
I haven't seen any of those.
Racially insensitive, but very funny.
Yeah. At the time. I think those fall in my top. There's actually too many movies to note in a top three.
I think
if you have a top three, I feel like you're boring.
I feel like I have a top 10, but they're like constantly rotating in terms of like what is like I prefer.
You love The Matrix, and did you have a trench coat when it came out? Did you buy one?
I didn't. Sadly, did have
that. I didn't have a trench coat.
Did you have a trench coat?
Didn't Taufik have a trench coat?
No. Also, we must actually apologize to Taufik because we said he was the one that ran out of the movie. It wasn't even
It was the other thing.
Did he get back to you? He was like, his
wife sent us a message. Like, it wasn't him.
To let us know, like, it's the wrong person.
On the note of checking people, someone came for us on our Facebook page and was talking shit about us. And they said that we are, what was it?
Then I didn't see it.
He called me colored.
Yes. And that
Brad's very offended by that. You can hear in his voice. He's super offended by that.
Like,
they say that we push boring, yeah, and we copying content.
And something of colored. And then I was like, yo, Brad. Brad, fuck. Hey.
Brad's cool. Honorary colored, Brad.
That's why I joined the podcast. I can retire now.
Yeah, I was going to just say, like, my top three favorite films. I'm going to put Inception up there. Like, for me, it's like a perfect blend of, like, Hollywood action, but also sort of just having a little bit more substance to it. Then I'm going to put Grave of the Fireflies. That's a film I can't watch again, but because it's so well made and it is soul-crushing. It is such a sad film.
I haven't seen it.
It's coming to Netflix shortly. Okay.
Isn't it still in the, is that not part of the anime festival thing that they're running?
I don't think so, because it is made by Ghibli, but it's not like solely Ghibli. Yeah. Like it's co-owned, but it is coming to Netflix.
Yeah, it's like super one of the, sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. But it's because it's sad, it's also like very beautiful about like the message it's trying to convey. It's a very anti-war film. And it's very personally written. Go check it out if you have the mag. Like, honestly, no, if you want to watch it, take a week off. Because, like, after you watch it, you'll need, like, a week to recover. Like, it's sad.
It's sad, won't you?
Yeah, but it'll make you feel like a shittier person. Yeah. Like, and then the last film that I want to put on the list is Old Boy, 2003, the original Old
Not
Boy.
Not the Spike Lee.
No, that's for sure.
Okay.
We're talking.
The Brolin one first.
Yo.
And then I had to go.
You must watch Park Chan Wook's one first.
You didn't know there was like a real version.
The actual one. Then I was like, oh.
Yo, it's that film is so good. Like the twist
in that thing, I was just like,
The twist is wild. Yeah, the hallway scene is like one of the best ever put to like film. It's such a good film. Like, yeah, I can't praise it enough. And yeah, that's like my top three for now. That's the first three. So then you had a third question, which is, would be your dream guest on the show? Like E.G. Kojima, Hauser Brothers, Cliff Bleszinski, etc. So I actually would say like Hideo Kojima, I think would be like such a cool guest. Like,
I feel like I would be too scared to speak to him. My thing with most of this thing when it's like, I wouldn't be able to say anything if any of my guests were actually.
The way he comes across is like he's just a bro who likes doing creative shit. Mm. But, and it comes across in the games he makes and like the type of person he is. But he doesn't come across as being disingenuous or pretentious or that.
Yeah.
He's just a bro who enjoys it. He's like a nerd's nerd. But, so like, yeah, that Kojima for me is like top of the list. And then I would say locally, we must go lab with Manichi. I'd love to have them on the show sometime.
Yeah.
Mm. It's actually, I can't think of any guests.
Said?
Peter De Villiers. I've kept that. And Danny K. I don't know.
So bad.
What's his last name?
Corporal. That's just the people that I always used to, whenever I needed to like name a celebrity for anything. I always, since like Matric, I've always just used the two of them as like the first names that pop up for everything. So I'm just going for that now because I can't think of anybody.
Mine would be Troy Baker. He's my favorite video
game. High School Musical.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He's my favorite voiceover actor. He really is. Like, he's been in some of my favorite games. Well, he's been in two of my favorite games as the lead. And he's also an actor, like a physical actor in real life. He was in Last of Us TV show as well.
I'm a real boy.
Yeah, and so I just think I saw a talk of his and Nolan North's at Comic-Con 2019. And they just seemed like also like Oaks who just love games and love nerd shit. So they would just, well, he would just, and Nolan North, of course, but like you would just be able to have a conversation about video games and films with them. And you would almost, they would have the, I think they've got this like encyclopedic like knowledge of video games, especially. Mm-hmm. So like you would name something and you'd be like, oh yeah, that came out in 1980 and this. And that would be a cool conversation, I think, definitely.
I think maybe Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Because
I feel like he,
we sort of like lived in the same time.
Yeah.
And he grew up also in the same way. So I feel like he would also be similar to us.
Yeah. Do you know who I would, who's international but local because she lives in South in Cape Town, is Shannon Elizabeth. Now, this is something I think we would be amazing to. Shannon Elizabeth was in American Pie, Scary Movie. She was Nadia in American Pie.
Oh, yeah.
The exchange student.
Just say that.
Yeah.
Start
with
that.
She lives in Cape Town. She lives in Cape Town full time. And then she just flies out to do films and comes back. I met her at a vegan expo once. It was so random. I'm like, that's not, but it is.
The face, that's okay.
No, but I was just like, but that is her, but that can't be her because we're in Cape Town at a vegan expo.
Yeah.
And then I went onto her Instagram and I saw that she was in Cape Town. I'm like, that is her. So I went and spoke to her a bit. And she seems pretty cool. And she's like, she seems like she has like one hand in nerd culture as well. And it would be quite a cool conversation. And that's,
we'll have you on soon.
Yeah, please.
I know you've been waiting all the time.
Exactly. Yeah, you've been waiting for the invitation. Here it is.
I actually have a name. Darren Korb, the guy who did all the, like he did all the voices and he did the soundtrack for Hades. I think that would be somebody interesting to speak to. But again, like I would be like, I'm wasting your time. Why are you here?
I wouldn't be nervous if Shannon is.
Like, what are you talking about?
She had one of the best death scenes in cinema in Scary Movie.
You know, I haven't watched any of the Scary Movie.
Have you not?
I thought I added
to the list.
She's like running away from the killer. And then she's like, oh, is this the part where I fall down and break my leg? And then she does it to herself. And then he cuts her head off. And then her head's just like, is this the part where I scream and bleed to death? And it's just like, I thought that was very
funny. Adding Scary Movie to the list for this week.
And then the last question he actually asked Well, this is like a side question is, do you guys sell merch? You saw Brad wearing the Coffee and Controllers t-shirt in one of the vids. So, like,
we have a couple.
Maybe we'll couple soon.
There's only four in existence right now.
Limited edition.
We will work on getting it out there to the people.
Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's it.
Any side notes, anything?
No, that's it.
That's the show. This is the Coffee and Controller Podcast. I'm Yasin Bones.
I'm Charlie Desai.
I'm Saeed.
I'm Brad.
Bye.
Bye.